What's up? Welcome to episode 322 of the PS4 Blackcast. I am JCM. With us this week is Miss Zaya.
Hello.
And Isley is in, well, I guess, my neck of the woods since he's getting a tattoo. Well, he got his tattoo all day long yesterday, so he was down in San Francisco. But he's on a flight home, so he won't be on the podcast today. But we can go ahead and get into the news. We got quite a bit outside of the big trailers that were from this week. I've got a whole list here. We'll go over it real quick. Apparently, there is... I must have missed this, probably because I'm not familiar with this game at all, but Atelier Ryza for PS4, Nintendo Switch, and PC was announced. It's coming fall 2019. This was from the 27th. Today, according to Famitsu, teased and upcoming articles that would include the reveal of this game. Let's see here. The game is said to be a completely new milestone for the Atelier series, with completely renewed gameplay, characters, worldview, alchemy system, and battle system. I'm familiar with the name Atelier, but I'm not familiar with any of the games in the series.
I always wanted to play them, but I just kind of never did like the diligence to look into how to get into playing them, because if I play the whole series or if I get into it, I'm going to want to play all of them. But I just haven't like looked at what's the best one to get into. But they look interesting. I kind of want to play them. I love the art styles.
I like the titles. The Atelier Ryza, Tokoyami no Jotohimitsu no Kagurega. And it's like it translates to the Queen of Everlasting Darkness and the Secret Hideaway. That's quite
See, that sounds fun.
That's quite a subname. But... yeah, there's no, it's just fall 2019. There's no actual date. And it's interesting. It says, yeah, it says the game is coming fall 2019. Of course, this is related to the Western release. We don't know yet whether the localization will come anywhere close to that. I guess they're kind of doubting if it'll be localized fast enough, or if like they'll release the Japanese version first and then the English version later, which would be interesting. Mm-hmm. Usually they don't do that in America. They just release in Japan and you can buy it or download it. I guess you have a Japanese PSN store tag or whatever. Kind of like with Persona. But who knows. Moving on. Then there is the, let's see, Labyrinth of Galleria, Coven of Dusk for PS4 and PS Vita got its first trailer. And I have no idea what this is. It's a from Nippon Ichi Software. It's a dungeon JRPG. So if you're into those things, it's apparently a follow-up to Labyrinth of Refrain, which I am familiar with name-wise. So it looks like a sequel. This time around, the player won't be a magical book, but sacred spirit lamp named Koreto, wielded by a young girl named Eureka, and accompanied by an aging witch named Madame Marta and a kid named Pelico. That means nothing to me. So you play a lamp and you were a book? Interesting. But yeah, let's see. It apparently was originally scheduled to release in Japan for, let's see, in July 25th, but it was originally delayed to spring of 2020. So I guess if you're into that series, there's a new trailer for that. Let's see here. Then we also had Konami announce the Contra Anniversary Collection. They just did a Castlevania collection. And they announced this one is going to have Contra Arcade, Super Contra Arcade, Super C, NES, Contra 3, The Alien Wars, Contra Hardcore from Sega Genesis, Contra from NES, Contra from Famicom, Operation C from Game Boy, Probotector, Sega Mega Drive, and Super Probotector Alien Rebels from Super NES. So if you're a big Contra fan, you get that. I know a lot of people really like in the Castlevania collection, and I'm sure people will look forward to playing the Contra one. I don't think they have a release date here in this article, but it'll be available sometime this summer, and it's only $20, so it's like, you know, nice collection if you're into that series. But I only ever played the first Contra on NES. I never played any of the other ones, so I have no idea how they are. Let's see here. We also got the release lineup for the June PlayStation Plus games with Sonic Mania and Borderlands The Handsome Jack Collection. So anybody who's interested in Borderlands 3, maybe hasn't played Borderlands in a while, and doesn't want to dig out their PS3 to play 1 or 2, at least they can get the collection on their PS4 and play a 2 on there. Let's see, we also have the Days of Play was announced. This is, of course, the discount event that's returning. It's coming next month. It's June 7th through 17th. There's going to be PlayStation VR bundles that are going to be $250. DualShock controllers, all colors, are going to be $40. And there's some PlayStation hits are going to be like $9. So I think any of the games that are PlayStation hits currently, which I think is like Uncharted 4, Bloodborne, stuff like that, it's going to be basically $10 for those games. But then they're going to have God of War, Spider-Man, and MLB The Show are apparently going to be $19.99. And they list Days Gone in that. But I saw the tweet from Ben Studio saying that get Days Gone for $39.99. So I don't know if they typoed or if there's a mistake in the marketing, but mm-hmm. I haven't seen any correction. So I don't know. But $20 for those games. So definitely get God of War if you haven't played it yet. And yes. Spider-Man. Let's see here. Then we also have the upcoming releases for June, which I totally forgot about. And there's no dates, and this is just a list of games coming out this month. There's Legend of Heroes, Trails of Cold Steel 2, Crash Team Racing Nitro Fueled, which I forgot was coming out this month. Don't know when, but it's coming out this month. I think it's later this month. Bloodstained Ritual of the Night comes out this month. Judgment, which I forgot comes out this month. And then Samurai Showdown. But I am looking forward to Crash Team Racing. So, and Bloodstained, of course. So because that's when I was like, oh, I won't have much to play. Which is fine because I'm currently playing Assassin's Creed DLC. But mm-hmm. now I know I have two other things. Then we also got the announcement of a bunch of Baldur's Gate and other classic D&D RPGs coming to consoles in 2019. This is publisher Skybound Games and developer Beamdog today being the 31st, announced that several classic Dungeons & Dragons RPGs, including Baldur's Gate, are going to make their way to PS4, Xbox One, and Nintendo Switch this fall. So I'm trying to see if there's a list here. It's, let's see, we got Baldur's Gate Enhanced Edition Pack, celebrating the year's 20th anniversary. It's the original Baldur's Gate Enhanced Edition and its sequel, Baldur's Gate 2 Enhanced Edition. Return with all the DLC, restored quest content, as well as Baldur's Gate Siege of Dragonspear expansion. We also get Planescape Torment Enhanced Edition, Icewind Dale Enhanced Edition. Let's see, two must-play games and all their DLC in one package. Neverwinter Nights Enhanced Edition and all its DLC. So it's going to be interesting. It looks like they are going to be... So the games are released in both digital and physical form. Physical editions will cost... It looks like each of them... Because they're all bundled. It's like the Baldur's Gate bundle, the Planescape bundle, the mm-hmm. Neverwinter. And they're looks like $40. Nope, $49.99. There we go. So it looks like September 24th is going to be the Never... Let's see, going to be most of the games. And then on December 3rd are going to be some of the other ones, the Neverwinter Nights ones. So that'll be interesting. I'm familiar with those names. Never played any of them, so... But I'll be curious to see if how they are. Might have to hop into them. Then, aside from all that, the next bit we got was the trailer for Call of Duty Modern Warfare, which is a soft reboot kind of thing. They showed the trailer, and I watched it, and I was like, man, clearly they've got new tech because this looks really good. And I liked everything I saw. And then it was at Judges Week. So, of course, after it was announced, all the people who played it, or not played it, but saw it at Judges Week, talked about it and what they talked about with the developer. And this is, of course, by Infinity Ward. And they had talked about how they, when they did the original Modern Warfare, Call of Duty 4, it was the landscape for war was kind of different. And then each subsequent game kind of got a little more crazy, like, oh, there's a nuke, oh, there's more nukes, and the world just got kind of out of control. And because the way war has kind of changed now so far along, and there's more like gray areas, they kind of felt like they wanted to take those same characters that they had originally, like Price and everything, and soft reboot it into more present day stuff, and which sounds really interesting. And they have some, they hired some new group out of Poland to do the new tech on it. I believe what is what they were saying on a Game Informer podcast, and how they're working on this new tech, which is really cool. Because I mean, it's been kind of the same tech iterations that, since, you know, 4, which is one of my issues. But you know, when you have an engine that runs at 60 on consoles and still looks pretty decent, especially for character models, it's like you might as well stick with it, because you want the game to run at 60. You don't want to make a new engine and then all of a sudden be like, well, we can't run at 60 anymore, which is what we're known for.
Yeah, but it's like our game looks pretty now, but it runs like shit.
Yeah, apparently they have some crazy new tech. I forget what they call it, but it's like they can take multiple pictures of trees, or like, you know, any sort of setting, but they use trees as an example, and they can put those images in the game, and it just, they're in the game now, and like that's the tech. The trees look photorealistic because of it. It kind of reminds me of that old, I think it was an old PS3 tech demo, where they took 2 points of data, satellite imagery and topographical laser measurements for like a mountain region, and they imported those 2 bits of data into the PS3, and it rendered the like a mountain range, and then superimposed the satellite images of those mountains onto it. And it was just like a real-time tech demo, and it looked really cool. And it's kind of reminds me of that, where you're taking these photos, reference photos for stuff, but you're kind of putting it in the game, and it just maps it to your geometry in the game there. But
yeah,
it looks really good. Like I said, the story sounds interesting. You play as multiple different sides, factions, stuff like that. And this is of course Infinity Ward, where when they did the, I think it was Advanced Warfare, no, not Advanced, it, Infinite, I think, did they do Infinite? Yeah, Infinite Warfare. That was the one with in space that had Kit Harington. That was like heavily story focused in their single player. And a lot of people like that there. And it'd be nice to be like, oh, which I didn't play that one, unfortunately, but I know they have some ex-Naughty Dog people working there, and then they had some people who had originally left Infinity Ward to go to Respawn, who then came back to Infinity Ward, are working on this as well. I'm sure the multiplayer would be fine, but if the single player is a pretty good campaign, I'd be kind of looking forward to playing it. I need some good first-person shooter campaigns. And then I saw an article. Oh, well, I'll wait for this. You can talk about that later, because it's about 14. I don't get into it now because I was like, I don't know where to start. But we also got a new trailer for Death Stranding, which dropped the release date on us of November 8th of this year.
I was shocked that there was actually no release date and that it was actually this year.
Yeah, there was some rumor going around like a couple days prior about how there would be a new trailer for The Last of Us and how that was going to come out in November. And so it sounds like whoever leaked this info just had the information wrong, like it was actually going to be Death Stranding, and then that's the one coming out in November. Misled. Yeah, but yeah, new trailer, 8 minutes, like 8-something minutes long. Ridiculous. But it's like the first trailer that really kind of shows everything. It kind of puts everything in perspective. Like you know what you're doing, you see combat, you see more exploration. You kind of know the story of what's going on, like what the main character is doing and everything, what you're going to be doing. And it's just like, oh, it was so good. Of course, it names all the characters like Die Hardman. And I'm like, what? You got that Kojima thing. The one thing that kind of bugged me a bit was there was a tweet by someone afterwards. So Death Stranding has a character named Fragile, and then there's a character in Metal Gear named Quiet, and like paging Dr. Freud. And Hideo retweeted it, but I think because he just saw someone talking about the game. I think they were a blue checkmark person. I don't remember. And I was going to joke like, well, he retweeted it because you were making connections. And that's what he's all about, making connections. But I thought it was kind of annoying because when I look at Sam, like on his outfit, it says, like earlier ones, it says Porter because his middle name is Porter. But it does say Bridges on some of the other outfits he wears. And on hers, on the back of it, it says Fragile. And I'm like, that's probably just her last name. Just like Bridges is his last name.
Mm-hmm. And they're all like very tongue-in-cheek names.
Right. Like he's must be part of some family that, because like the elevator says Bridges, like he must be in relation to some family that's like not like a tech giant, but some, you know, just big industry kind of family kind of thing. And maybe she is part of the fragile family, where the fragile, where they do whatever, and now she's just happens to work for them as well. But it just, that just kind of bugs. It's like, clearly that can't be her first name. It's just probably her last name because it's on the back of her outfit with the, and it's fragile and it has the hands holding the package, and she's a package delivery person as well. But yeah, I don't know. That just annoyed me. But yeah, there's a ton in this trailer, and apparently there was a Japanese version of the trailer that went up. I had no idea, and it has like 15 seconds of different footage. And of course, it's Japanese voiceover. It has all the Japanese voice actors. And a different song entirely. But the extra scenes it shows are basically the scene from the trailer where Sam is sneaking through the woods and he sees all the BTs, which we learned they're called BTs. And when they capture him and drag him underground, it's like basically what happens after that sequence, because then it shows like this giant black goo slug monster like chasing him around that same area. And, like, the whole forest floor is just covered in black goo. And he ends up, like, shooting at it at one point. And, like, there's extra footage there. And then there's more footage where it shows Amelia, Lindsay Wagner's character, where she's standing with the gold mask that Higgs is wearing, Troy Baker's character. It's on her face. And then all of a sudden behind her comes Troy Baker, and he puts his arm around her. And then it cuts from there. But she's just kind of staying there, and he just comes up, and there's like this fog, and he just comes up and like grabs her. There's also a scene where like it shows these golden hands. They look like the same material that the gold mask is made out of, where they're coming out of the ground. Like it's hands coming out where like if you put your palms together or your wrists together and bent your hands open, like a Venus flytrap, I guess, like they come out of the ground like that. Like they're these weird golden hand flowers, and they're growing. It's just a scene. They're just growing out of the forest floor. And that was interesting. But that's like the only different stuff. I'm like, oh, you cut out like this boss fight moment from the English trailer? Because they show like that giant stepping monster at one point when it's talking about the who did character design and all that stuff. And I paused that scene. And in that scene, the person shooting at Sam is, of course, Higgs. And he's carrying Amelia over his shoulder. So that could be the scene where like he maybe kidnaps her. Another thing I thought was, I went back and I watched every trailer in a row. And it's like, oh, there's five trailers. And I was like, there's five? I thought there was only four. Jesus. But they considered the character trailer that was shown at, I think, a Tokyo Game Show where they introduced Troy Baker's character. They considered that a trailer.
Oh.
So that one's just the one where Sam's walking up. He has someone on his back. And then Troy Baker's like, oh, shit, I thought you were going to be alone. Well, I just have the Enterprise. Mm-hmm. And he calls him the giant lion goo monster. And like that, they consider that the trailer. So, which is funny because then when I was watching, I was like, yeah, where is that part where we get introduced to Troy Baker's character? but yeah, I went back and watched them all in a row. And what's interesting is there's that scene in the new one when Mads Mikkelsen character comes out of the goo and he's got like the glowing plus symbol on his stomach, like he's been cut.
Mm-hmm.
Sam has that same scar in the announcement trailer when he wakes up on the beach with the baby.
Yeah.
But his is all sewn up. And then, of course, I was reminded that the baby doll from the second trailer has the same cut as well, but stapled together, closed. And then it floats down from Guillermo del Toro down to Mads Mikkelsen at the end of the tunnel with the skeleton soldiers. And then I'm wondering, and you see one in, like, you see the normal baby always, like, in, like, Sam's throat or whatever, give him the thumbs up symbol. And then you see, like, the crazy doll version of it doing it. And then it immediately cuts to a scene where Sam is, like, had his color saturation drained away, and he's just kind of gray. So it's like, I'm wondering, because when I watched the Troy Baker trailer, he has one of the, like, a bridge baby capsule on him as well, but it glows red when he summons the demon or the BT monster. And I'm wondering if, like, they use these baby dolls, like inject them with that goo and then close them up and then bridge with them somehow, like if that's what these dolls are used as, like as a evil version of a bridge baby, kind of like a BT bridge baby. It's just filled with the black goo. But it's a but yeah, a lot of details in the trailer. More of Mads, they refer to him as bridge babies, so we know that you're using them to connect, to be able to see, because he talked about that before in a previous trailer where he goes I can't see him. He's like, so you can see him? He's like, nah, I can just sense him. Mm-hmm. And then in this trailer, he has the same line. He's like, I can't see the BTs, and that's where we find out their name. He goes, but I can feel them. And they go, oh, that's why we have this. So clearly, you need the bridge babies to see them. And then they also reference how connecting to them makes him feel like shit. The one character, I think Hartman is the one talking. You don't know because they don't show him talking, but I'm assuming it's Hartman. And then he talks about, well, yeah, you're connecting to the other side. So I'm wondering if it's some kind of thing, like, since whatever, something about babies being, if there's, let's say, like, if a soul is a thing in this game, like, they're so fresh from, like, is their soul coming from the other side, and then they're born, kind of thing, like, that's why they can connect, and you can see this, these BTs floating around, which are also connected to something, because they have umbilical cords as well.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's, and I forgot about that line from the third trailer where he talks about, actually it's the second trailer, when he talks about how in the beginning there was a bang, and he talks about the bang, and then at the end he's like, there's a bang that will end it, which is I'm assuming the Death Stranding is the bang that's destroying everything. And it's first time they call it the Death Stranding in this trailer with Higgs' character. But yeah, what'd you think of the trailer?
I'm going to be honest, I didn't watch it with sound.
What?
At first, because I was at work.
At first, okay. Okay.
So, yeah, so I didn't watch it with sound at first. And then at lunch, I started watching it with sound again. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to, because I got the gist of what's going on, I was like, I just want to wait for the game to come out. Because if I watch this, I'm going to watch it again. I'm going to start speculating. I'm going to get hype. I was like, I just want the game to come out. So I watched like half the trailer with sound and was like, I can't. I just want the game. I want it immediately. I want to play it right now. So I watched the whole thing without sound and like half of it with sound. And I was like, I'm done. I'm ready. I just give me the game immediately, please.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting that, I like how they also reference how now, you know, there's separate factions. There's a group that doesn't like the UAC, which I believe is the United American Cities. And then there's the homo demons, and I think someone online, which is the militant faction, who can teleport around apparently because they got crazy powers, I guess, from the BTs. Let's see. Demons, because I believe that translates to, what's the, because like homo ludens is the name of the of the logo.
Mm-hmm.
Homo demons, and I believe homo demons are, let's see, names of human species. Because I believe homo demons. No, I'm just, should look this up first. Homo demons. Yeah, homo demons is translation to madman. So, yeah, here, this is, oh, that's just some, but yeah, homo demons, that's the translation, is just madman. There's a lot of, wow, there's a ton of these, list of binomial names. Jesus. Homo adorans, homo amans, homo avaris, man of the greedy, loving man, aesthetic man. They're like all, obviously, man. Homo ludens, plain man. There you go. Interesting. But yeah, that's interesting. So now we know. At least they have a name. Of course, I'm wondering if he'll spell it that way, because it's D-E-M-E-N-S. I'm assuming he would, because he did Ludens exactly the same, Homo Ludens.
Yeah.
I'll be really curious. And I like Troy Baker's look in the game. Like, I like that outfit, that hood. It is kind of funny, though, that scene where he takes off, I don't know if you saw it, but he takes off the gold mask, but he still got his other mask underneath.
Yeah.
But of course, he just took it off so he could take off that mask so he could lick Fragile's face. Oh, and then that's another thing. When I went back and because everyone's always crying in these trailers, or at least they have tears, and there's that line from the third trailer where when Fragile first finds Sam, she's talking, there's a voiceover line, she's talking to him, and he's all, you know, Sam Bridges, the deliverer of packages. And then she says tears, and she says the chiral allergy. And so apparently the tears are some sort of reaction to this allergy called the chiral allergy. But then she also says a line which I can't quite hear her saying, but she says, you have dooms just like me, or you have dooms like me. And then that's where she asks him what level, and then he says, I've got the extinction factor. He's like, but I think you have it, you've got me beat. So I'm curious what the, if the allergy is a symptom of this dooms or dunes, whatever it's called. I couldn't like hear it over the music that well. I kept rewinding over and over. Like if that's the disease or some kind of condition you can have, and then this is the allergy you have from it. So like, because in the trailer, when they introduce, like everyone has tears except Mads, Guillermo del Toro, and Die Hardman, they don't. But like everyone's always got these tears in their face, and then Amelia has bloody tears at one point. But yeah, so we know that clearly the extinction factor must is that if he gets eaten by the BT, the giant BT, and it was just like in the one trailer, then a crater gets, because in the third trailer they talk about, you know, oh, he's like, yeah, but if one of those things eats you, sure, you'll come back, but the entire Shonen area will be a crater. So they talk about that, alluding to if he dies, he'll come back, but there'll be the destruction. And then they also talk about in the new trailer how they call it void outs, because they talk about how the militant group can manufacture, they don't care about manufacturing void outs. They'll do it. So it sounds like they're trying to destroy as much as they can, usher in the new world order or something. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it'll be interesting. One thing I love too about in games is I love anything that has a scanning effect, like in holding down, or not down, but holding up in like Assassin's Creed and scanning out, and the way that looks, because typically it always replaces the color geometry of the game with a quick like line art grid texture as it passes. So I love in Death Stranding when they scan and you see that giant orange scan wave go by and hit all the geometry, and then him, and then when he does the blue one in the forest, and it's just like, I don't know, I always like that effect in games. It's always really cool looking, because like it lets you see more detail, like yeah, this is each little bits of detail. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to this game, and it's coming out so soon. I'm curious if they're gonna actually, because someone had brought up on the Game Informer podcast that Hideo had said a while ago that they're running a little behind schedule of where he'd like to be. I don't know if that was just red herring, he's just throwing us off,
or they managed to catch up and he's just like being weird and panicking,
or they were
going to release, it's not as behind schedule as he was making it seem.
Yeah, or who knows, maybe they were going to release like August or something, and then like yeah, just push November. But that's so crazy, November, man. You know, and it's nuts, especially because we had talked about before how Sony had that that conference about how their marketing budget would not increase for fiscal 2019, which people thought, okay, they're clearly not going to be releasing PS5 because they would have to increase their marketing budget to promote the new console. Mm-hmm. But people kind of also inferred that meant, oh, well, maybe they won't have any big, you know, first party releases as well because they won't have to increase marketing for those. but if they have, they do have Medieval coming out that same month. So whereas last year it was God of War and Spider-Man, so it was just two games. So maybe they'll use that same marketing budget they did last year for this year, and that's why it won't be increased, because it's still enough to promote Death Stranding and a remaster of another game.
Yeah, so it's like, and I mean, let's be honest, they've already promoted the shit out of Death Stranding. They probably don't have to do a whole lot more.
Yeah. Man, it's so weird. Like, this would have been, like, had this been at E3 proper, like, if they had an E3, this would have been great trailer for E3. Mm-hmm. Just total surprise of, what the fuck, it comes out in, you know, 5 months? Not even? But it's like, goddamn. But, yeah, this drop, and I like, and they just teased, like, oh, hey, there's a trailer coming. And they had that. I didn't participate in that live stream thing. I was like, no, I'll just wait till it's officially up. I was like, I don't got time for this live stream nonsense. Because I was like, other people show me sentiment too, where I don't want to spoil the trailer by watching, seeing part of it in the background while I wait for these handprints to clear out. It's like, I just want to wait. But yeah, it's a, man, I'm definitely looking forward to playing that game.
So excited.
Yeah. But jumping real quick to another thing I saw, which you could speak to because I'm sure you know more about it than I do. But I saw an article, this is according to an article on Twinfinite, that FF14 Shadowbringers seeks to end job balance issues once and for all. And I'm trying to see if they have a quote from, I don't think they have a quote from like a developer, but it's basically a hands-on with them playing the game. Like they played Gunslinger and a bunch of other stuff. And they kind of go over how it looks like simplifications to jobs, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I didn't actually read the whole article, but do you know anything about that? Like, are they trying to balance 14 more to be like less crazy min-max that they do with jobs? People,
I don't know what it's alluding to as far as balance goes. Maybe because I haven't, they did a media tour in San Francisco and where they had a bunch of content creators come and make content about all the games, and I haven't caught up on all that stuff yet, but I'm assuming that it's just alluding to what they talked about in the previous live letter, where they're going to be simplifying job actions. So as it is right now, you have like sub actions that you can allot from related jobs, like, you know, like Swiftcast, you can put Swiftcast from Black Mage on Red Mage. And so there's like this pool of skills that you can choose from, and then you allot whatever skills from that pool that you want. Well, they're getting rid of that, and they're just giving you certain skills at certain levels or something like that. So they're just making it more simple of a ability system, because they're adding 10 new levels and a ton of new skills. So they have to simplify yet again, building on what they did for Stormblood.
Yeah. Reading this, this is from Ed McGlone, who played this, this build, and he says, if I had to boil my experience at this event down to one key takeaway, it's that director and producer Naoki Yoshida and the, did I pronounce that right, the first name?
Naoki.
Okay. And the development team are going for total job parity and balance in a way that I haven't seen before. The blueprint for this appears to be this: any specialization within roles that has existed in Final Fantasy XIV is designed to be dismantled in Shadowbringers. This means no more tanks that are better as main or off tanks. All four tank jobs are going to be retooled to work well in either spot. The team are going after healers too, and eliminating the more subtle but still incredibly important differences between them. White Mage is getting better mobility, instant cast spells to help with its overall DPS. Scholar is getting more ways to innately heal HP, and the RNG slash strategy, however you want to look at it, behind Astrologian cards is getting heavily neutered in favor of simplified system, all about increasing damage and only damage. You don't have to fish for balance if everything is balanced, after all. DPS jobs, which offer arguably the most distinct experiences within them, are also having a lot of their identity shaven down to make them easier to balance for the dev team. The biggest change is by far the removal of synergistic job actions like Dragoon's Impulse Drive combo paired with Battle Litany to benefit bards for huge DPS spikes. So it sounds like what you're saying.
Yeah, they're just making all of the skills and the skill synergy work easier together, which I'm assuming has maybe something to do with Dancer and how overpowered it's probably going to be, because Dancer looks really overpowered and really fucking fun, but Dancer is definitely like a synergy class. So I think what they've done with Dancer, they're going to do with all of the other classes and make it easier to kind of like work together as a party, but also make it so that one combination of jobs is not better than the other. And they're simplifying, like with White Mage, they're making more emphasis on like healing and buffing and actually supporting the party, rather than like, can you keep everybody alive and also do as much damage as possible with Stone 4 or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw another article on Twitter. I didn't open it, but it was basically, they're talking about how the preview, they're on hands with Dancer. They said it was like, Dancer feels like the first real support job in 14, mm-hmm. even though it isn't. And then they also talk about how, like, Gunslinger, they felt like is playing a little too safe with this moveset. But let's see, here's another one. Continuing on the article, the simplification of FF14 is something that I've been concerned about for years, and I asked Ushida-san about it pretty much every time I've interviewed him in one way or another. The answer is that Shadowbringers is hoping to supply, or the answer that Shadowbringers is hoping to supply is this. The development team is going to lean very heavily into the fantasy of each job and give you access to flashy actions that make you feel like you're stepping into the shoes of the online version of your favorite classic job. A dragoon might not do anything that's substantially different than a monk in the grand scheme of things, but you'll get into the same point in a way that feels different, at least.
Yeah, so, they'll still have their own kind of like synergies with their skills and stuff like that, but they're making it so that nobody, like, the meta is now, especially with, like, I'll use like ultimate weapon ultimate for an example, like, nobody wants to take a black mage into ultimate weapon ultimate right mm-hmm. now, because it's just not a viable class. They want to get rid of that kind of meta where certain jobs are better for certain, like, fights and situations, and statics want you to play a specific job. They want everybody to play the job that they want to play and be just as effective as anything else.
Right. Yeah, that's, I mean, that's been around since 11, obviously, like, you know, black mage only parties, or,
yeah,
you know, this or this, or, I mean, that was for the longest time, that was Dragoon's place in 11. It was, nah, give us samurai or do this. Like, it was like never needed. It's not that you couldn't. It was just that mentality of people want to do endgame as efficiently and quick as possible.
Yeah.
Even though you could do it. Like, it's different where in 14, it was more like they put that DPS check in. It's like, oh, if you don't do it in 8 minutes, you enrage. And it's like, okay, well, now that even drives further that, well, we want that. Not that I felt that there was huge job imbalances in 14 when I was playing, not as much as there was in 11, at least as far as party configurations. But yeah, as 11, that was just like always so obnoxious. Like, nah, even it's like when you're leveling up, it's like, who cares when you're leveling? Just do it. It's just,
yeah, whatever. They want, the only reason and time that Dragoon ever became viable was Auth Urgen, because people wanted to farm the shit out of the stupid birds. But even then, like, oh, just, you have to sub samurai or bring samurai, and you have to use a polearm weapon because they're weak to piercing, so we're going to do this as fast as possible. And it's like, or you have to come this as sub ninja, or you have to sub dark knight for stun or whatever. It's like,
or just thief or something.
Yeah, you get into that mentality of like, this is the best and this is the most efficient because somebody somewhere did it fast and you want to do it just as fast as them, rather than like finding your own combination of like friends and what they want to play and what they want to do, or trying new things and seeing what works. So 14's really trying to like get away from that as much as possible.
Yeah, 11 also suffered from that thing that a lot of endgame strategies revolved around 2 hours, and Dragon's 2 hours sucked ass for the longest time. So it's like, oh, well, yeah, we can bring them and the DPS is fine, but they don't have a 2 hour that's really helpful for this fight. So it's like, come on, man. It's like, really, just don't worry about the 2 hour then. It's like, come on.
But, yeah.
You know, whatever. But yeah, I remember when they overhauled gave the new 2 hour, I was like, oh my god, yes. I was so stoked. And then my cousin who played Dark Knight was like, when are they going to change Dark Knights? I was like, oh, new 2 hour, so good. And now I can recall my wyvern every 20 minutes.
I know, right? That was like the best thing they ever did for 11.
Yep. But yeah, interesting stuff. Curious to see how it all nets out in the end, if people, because, I mean, I guess that'd be nice in a sense that if you're playing, I mean, because that was always something that, like, I like, I guess they'll still have, is positioning still a thing? I mean, what they kind of phased that out in that patch where the position, it wasn't mandatory, but if you did your positioning moves, you still got benefits, right?
Yeah, positioning isn't mandatory to trigger your combos anymore, but you get additional bonuses for doing them. So like Dragoon positionals, you'll get like a damage boost, or you'll be able to trigger a specific like combo ending that has a specific like benefit or debuff or something you can place on the mob. So it's not mandatory to keep up your DPS, but you get bonuses for doing them correctly.
Okay, so they aren't necessarily damage bonuses, they're just status bonuses.
Yeah, pretty much. Okay. Like you can like it was talking earlier about Dragoon and Bard. Dragoon and Bard is a good synergy pair because if you do a specific combo or if you do like a specific buff, it lowers the target's piercing resistance and then mm-hmm. Bard gets that bonus.
Oh, nice. Yeah, because that was something I always liked. I mean, I talk about it a lot with like 11 and we talk about it in Discord and I talk about my cousin. Yeah. Or like sit there and auto attack of 11 and then TP thing always kind of was like, yeah, whatever. But I like the more involved combat of 14. And when I think I played a bit after they made that patch, I think I came back and cause that was in, Heaven's Ward, wasn't that? Or sometime after Heaven's Ward. Yeah. And then, I played a bit and it's like, it kind of bugged me. It's like, I still want to be able to do now. Granted, it does help in those situations, like maybe an endgame fight where you can't flank the mob or you can't get in a certain position because either A, they're moving too much, or going to that side means death. Mm-hmm. But yeah, because I always like that aspect of like, because then it had more involved. I was doing something, but now when they took it out or changed it, I was like, oh, now it just feels like I have to do these moves, but the position doesn't matter. But that also kind of made me not want to play other jobs. Like I didn't want to like level monk because they had their own different positioning things. I'm like, okay, now not only am I learning rotations for skills, but now I have to learn like, okay, which ones are best for each position. But taking it out, at least especially to help with the synergy thing, to make everything kind of a little more same, is that you can bounce around between each job and have a different visual flair, but not necessarily have to play it entirely different. So I kind of like that aspect. It sounds good when I say it, but I'd have to like see it in practice and like feel it and like play it and be like, is the visual cues and animations and everything, which a lot of people turn off, you know, back in the day, at least, especially on PS3, but does it feel like I'm doing anything super different than if I was playing another job? But interesting stuff. I mean, I'm curious how the community as a whole feel about it, but
white mages are unhappy. That's all I know. Because they're taking away their like DPS thing, which was like a huge fucking discourse in the community like a while ago, was the white mage DPS. And now that they're balancing white mage to be more focused on support and healing, now all the white mages are mad. They're like, well, I'm still going to spam stone four. It's like, you can, but that's not... They're balancing everything else so that you no longer have to spam stone four to meet DPS checks. Like, that's not your job. Mm-hmm. It's not your job to meet the DPS check.
Yeah.
You can still do it as long as everybody's still alive. Nobody's stopping you from throwing rocks.
Yeah, give him a K club.
Yeah.
But interesting. Yeah, and then I thought I had something else for 14, but I guess I don't. I guess I kind of mentioned offhand the other stuff. But yeah, that's basically it for the news. We did have new releases. I forgot to go over. We have, let's see, games. I just lost it. Let's see, new releases. I know we had Blood and Truth, which is a PSVR game, which is apparently supposed to be very good. I haven't played it yet. And then Trover Save the Universe is supposed to be really good as well, which is the Justin Roiland game. Then I think everybody's golf VR is supposed to be good. I don't remember. But we also had Sniper Elite V2 Remastered came out. I think that came out last week, technically. And then Team Sonic Racing came out as well, apparently. But and then Five Nights at Freddy's Help Wanted VR came out last week, I believe.
Yep.
But yeah, Blood and Truth. I mean, I was like, I got to pick up a PSVR. Because there's a ton of games like Beat Saber, that super hot bunch of games that are just like it's like picking up a console at the end of a life cycle. It's like you just have this huge library. It's like I feel like that with PSVR. Yes. Like I gotta get this thing. But yeah, outside of that, that's it for the news and releases. Like I said, we had a lot of start off with games I had no idea about, and then the two big trailers. Curious what else we're gonna get. We have something from Larian Studios. They're teasing we don't know what it is, but it's like a logo that looks like a 3. People are thinking maybe it would be Divinity Original Sin 3. I feel like that would be pretty quick, because they just, I mean, 2 came out, I think 2 came out technically in, when did 2 come out? I think it was in 2017. And then the PS4, it was the end of 2017, I believe, in like that November, like right before Game of the Year lockouts. And then the port to consoles came in August of 2018. But yeah, so I mean, maybe they could be working on Arthur already. Who knows? But I just feel like they'd be kind of quick.
Mm-hmm.
And those are very popular games and really good games too. So, but yeah, as far as what have you been, we've been playing? I saw it's just Michael playing Dark Souls 3, right? You're not playing Dark Souls 3 again?
Yeah, it's just him playing, and that's pretty much all I've been doing is watching him play Dark Souls.
I keep seeing those videos of him just shooting the dragons with arrows, and I'm like,
epic dragon battles.
Yep.
No, I have been like wiffle waffling on buying a game because I stopped playing My Time at Portia because it's not good on Switch. And that's really upsetting. So I'm going to wait for the Steam summer sale, see if it goes on sale on Steam, and then I'll probably play it on PC. But I just, like literally an hour ago, I just bought Fantasy Life for the 3DS. I've been wanting that forever, so that's probably what I'm going to do for the next like month. And then next month, I have 2 games on Switch that are coming out that I want to get. But other than that, not much.
Nice. Yeah, I haven't played much Divinity with Isley this week. Oh, we played on Tuesday, that's right, because he was going to be... See, the Tuesday... No, we played Wednesday night. That's right, we played for a bit. That guy. Sometimes we're like, I'll look at the map, and there's, like, this area we haven't gone to, and, like, the shroud's still there because we haven't explored it. And then I'm in town, and I'm, like, trying to, like, buy some gear or steal some stuff because I want to upgrade my gear. And then I open up the map, but, like, the shroud is entirely removed from an area. I'm like, what? Like, ran around the whole area? He's like, no, I didn't do much. I'm like, just did this. And then we were just getting into a pit where I was like, yeah, you went all the way down here. He's like, yeah, I did that when you were by the troll. I'm like, the troll's way up here. He's like, yeah, it takes like 2 seconds to get across the map. I was like, it does not take 2 seconds to get across the map in Divinity. But luckily, it does this weird thing, it seems like, where like he was exploring and he saw like a bunch of red dots on the mini map, which meant there's enemies. And when we went back the same route to go encounter it, we got ambushed along the way. And he goes, that's interesting, I didn't get ambushed before. And so it seems like the game, like, if the main game host isn't in the area where an ambush is supposed to trigger, it doesn't trigger the event until I go there. But which, like I said, it's interesting if that's the case. We haven't actually had a chance to test it, but it seemed like that just because he goes, oh, nothing happened here. I thought, well, maybe we advanced a quest to a certain point that now it's triggered this event to happen. Because it's kind of like, again, it's an ambush. So
yeah.
But it seemed to happen as well in another area. We're in a dungeon where like he ran up into this big room that was kind of a dead end and nothing happened. But then by the time I got up there, then like these 4 bug monsters popped out of the ground. And it's like they weren't there before, but yeah, so that's an interesting thing that they're doing. But yeah, game's a lot of fun. It's like I said, I love the combat in that game. I still have that problem where like I want a single player story experience, but I want a multiplayer combat experience.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes it just because there's like if he gets in a conversation with someone, unless I'm there to eavesdrop on the conversation by just like hit X to listen, I miss out on the dialogue. And usually it's like a dumb side quest thing. But like if it's a side quest thing, it's fine. I'll just be like, hey, just tell me, you know, what they say. Like, oh, they want us to do this. And then I'll do the same thing. I'm like, oh, hey, I just talked to the so-and-so. He wants us to go investigate this area. But usually if it's a big story beat that's super important to the main, to your character especially, then you have to talk to, each person has to talk to the NPC respectively, so you can't miss that story information. It also has like there's like this main arc where like you're trying to become God Woken, which is like kind of like this chosen thing. You're trying to get this power, so you each get teleported to this, I forget what they call it, like this divine realm kind of place, and you talk to the god, like there's like these seven gods, like one of them's like the lizard god, and my character's the lizard, so I talk to her and he talks to a different god, and those areas are segregated, so when we teleport to them you can do them at your leisure. But yeah, that game, it's a big game, and like I say, it's a lot of fun. I really love the combat in the game, and just the stuff you can do in the game is so fun. Like, we had a quest where we were trying to investigate these missing magisters, which are like these, they basically, it's basically like the church. Like, they don't like people who use magic, and they don't like source. And a couple went missing. And so we have to investigate, and then you get this ability later where you can, like, see ghosts of characters. So, like, there's this ghost in this town, or in this tavern, and she's like, I can't remember what happened, how I died. Like, I just remember I was in the kitchen, and then next thing I know, I'm here. And so I think the cook had something to do with it. So I go and talk to the cook, and she's like, hey, what's going on? And you're like, yeah, Magister so-and-so said you might have killed her. She goes, what? He goes, yeah, her ghost said it. Her ghost, like, that's stupid. There's no such thing as ghosts. And then now if you have high enough wits, it allows you to spot hidden objects. Like, if there's buried treasure, if you walk by it, your character will be like, hey, I found something. And you can dig it up and find a box. Also, that helps you find hidden storage places. Like, so then I ran around the kitchen, and then I found that I discovered one of the wood planks was loose. So I removed it, and then I found a note about that she kept. It turns out the magister, yeah, she was killing, or the cook was killing magisters, cutting them up and using them in the stew. And she has like a list of all the magisters killed, like, oh, you know, magister so-and-so, 268 pounds, you know, too fatty or whatever. Like, couldn't get good meat. Or this person was too skinny, not enough sustenance, whatever, and stuff like that. And so then I can confront her with it, and then we get in a fight, or she like wants me to not say a word and just let it go, because she knows I don't like magisters either. But then I go and report it into the head magister, and then to complete the quest, and we get it done. But then there's another way you can do it, where she sells some items, and you can buy the stew off her. And elves in the game have this character trait where they can eat dead body parts, not only to get health back, but then they get memories from that body part. So if you eat the stew as an elf character, you discover that it's, you know, the dead magister, and that it's someone, it's someone's remains, and you can confront the person the same way. So there's like, and then we had one where like, we had to kill this guy who like killed this other person, and his ghost like, hey, can you kill that dude? He killed me. I'll tell you where my treasure is. So we go get him, but he's like in the middle of his tavern, and we can't just kill him there, because then the whole place will go hostile to us. So he's like, hey, I want some soup. And he's like, give me some soup. And so Izzy's like, I know what I'm going to do here. And so Izzy gets some soup, and then he gets this rotten fish, and he crafts them together. So he puts all the rotten fish into the soup, gives the guy soup. It gives the guy, like, diarrhea, I guess. And then he runs around the tavern to the outhouse in the back. And then once he comes out, then we ambush him, and we kill him back there, so no one interrupts us. But, yeah, it's just, that game's just, the variety of what you can do in that game is just a ton of fun.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, and it's four player too. I was like, man, I can't imagine. Like, I would love to do the combat four player, but I can't imagine running around trying to experience the story with four people. But yeah, and it's just drop in, drop out. The only downside is that the save is only on the host system. So like, if we play this game, and then like, if he in theory wanted to play on his own, like if we just like, hey, let's stop playing co-op. You know, we don't have time. You know, we're too busy now. He can't, because he has no save data on his system. So I guess in the end, I would have to transfer the save to a USB and then send that to him, so he can install it. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. I like that game a lot. It's a good game. But then aside from that, I started playing the Assassin's Creed DLC, Legacy of the First Blade. Yeah, so I'm like, because they just came out the first episode, the Atlantis one, and I believe the second episode of that comes out either late June. I think it's late June, because I think it was March or April that the first episode came out.
Yeah.
And then, so I was like, you know what? I'm going to pop in Assassin's Creed. First thing I did was go to that Fire Cauldron Island and try to fight this Cyclops that was there and just got my ass handed to me. I'm like, I haven't, that's the one thing I remember when I don't play the game for a while is relearning mechanics. Like, okay, how does this happened, especially with Origins, when I went back to that DLC, I'm like, okay, how do I block or deflect again? Mm-hmm. You know, cause there's no blocking, and relearning that in this, like, okay, I have to L1 and R1 at the same time, but I like trying to learn that window again. Like, okay, his weapon flashed with the white, you know, circle thing indicating they're going to attack, but now I have to wait. It's like very Sekiro. I have to wait for that moment. Like, I can't just hit it and be like, okay, instantly counter. It's like I have to wait for the weapon to actually try to connect. Same for that slow-mo dodge mechanic. But yeah, it's relearning that. That luckily I went pretty quick. And then I was like, how do I call my horse? I kept hitting down. I'm like, where the fuck's my horse? Like, I'm whistling and I'm not getting my horse. And I'm like, oh yeah, I got to hold down. And I held it, and then the horse was, I'm like, there you are, my fiery horse. But yeah, it's a lot of fun getting back into it. I kind of wish I was playing a little bit more the Tales from Greece content, because then I would have had a little more, I would have leveled up a little more, because, you know, mm-hmm. they lift the level cap. So yeah. I'm at level 50, so like I can't do it, whereas everybody else who played and like got to max level got a bunch of points instantly once they added the bonus. They added like a couple new skills you can learn, and then also the mastery skills. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I don't have them. But I thought about respecking, getting rid of some of the archery skills I don't use. Like, I don't really use predator shot that much, and I also don't use that the volley one at all.
I don't either.
Like, it's good if I'm in a hiding spot, because then they can't find me, but like I'd never use it in combat, just because the navigation to choose the target area is so slow. It's like I'm just too vulnerable in that situation. But the devastating shot's like my favorite. I love that one. I use it all the time. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like the whole transmogrification you can do with gear, it's so simple. It's like, I like this gear, I want it to look like this gear. Done. It's just super fast. I did it with my bow. I was like, because I like my bow, but I was like, yeah, I want to change it to this other bow, because I like the way the Hades bow looks. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. I'm not too far. I think I'm still in technically episode one, because it's like a ton. They give you like a ton of side quests you can do that are part of the DLC all of a sudden. But it seems like they're only in one segment of the map so far, which is interesting. And then it's like this laundry list of Tales of Greece quests I could do as well. And I'm like, you know, I guess I could do these. And luckily they color code them, so like those quests are blue in your quest log. And then the Legacy of the First Blade DLCs are more like a amber, not amber, like this more reddish copper kind of color. So it's like, at least you can tell right away like which one's which. But yeah, so far I'm enjoying it. Like, I haven't progressed too far in it. It kind of was weird that they instantly give you another tree of people to kill with the order. It's like, oh hey, there's like 6 or 7 people now that are part of the order. Find the clues to kill them. And I have killed almost all of them. I think the other ones I can only do now if I complete the story. But luckily, it wasn't all as crazy long as it was for the cultists. But yeah, it's interesting though that I found a note on one last night where it's like, you know, hey, the try to steer clear of the cult of Cosmos. They have no idea that we're here. And of course, I've killed them all. They don't know that.
Yeah, they're all dead. Don't worry about it. But I'm like,
so the Order doesn't like the cult of Cosmos? It's like, they don't like each other? I'm like, that's really interesting. And then I'm like, now I want more lore on that. Like, are there different factions? It's like, is the Order, because I always consider the Order the primary one, especially with Origins. Like, oh, it's the Order, they're going to become Abstergo down the line. Like, they're just part of the Order. Oh my god, I'm blanking on the name. Don't they call him, is it something like, is this the Templars? There we go. Templars is just, they would have become the Templars because the Crusades and all that time period, and then become Templars, become Abstergo. They're all the same. But I figured, like, you know, that was the natural thing. I was like, oh, well, Cult of Cosmos, clearly they just become the Order later on. Like, whoever was left that you didn't kill or wasn't part of that hit list just becomes part of the Order. But it's like, oh, no, they're just two totally different groups. but basically kind of doing the same exact thing, except it seems like the Cult of Cosmos actually has, you know, they have that pyramid and all those pieces and they can see stuff, whereas, well, I guess that is different because they do talk about how, you know, spoilers for Odyssey, but when you talk to Pythagoras, is that right?
Yeah.
Pythagorean theorem. Yeah, you talk to him near Atlantis, and he's like, oh yeah, the initial idea was to kind of use it to figure out what's going to happen and try to help. Like, it was basically use the tool, the pyramid, as a way to help people, or mankind, I guess.
Yeah.
And then it got twisted. Eventually, it's like, so I thought, like, oh, that makes sense. Like, it starts this way, and then that's how they kind of become the Order. But I'm like, now they're not. So are there other cult groups out there, like, who aren't part of the Order? Like, I'm wondering if I'm gonna get any more of that. Like, if they're gonna expand on that. Like, why are they not connected? Why do they not like each other? Is it because one doesn't have any apples of Eden, and the other one has this pyramid that lets them see these images? Kind of thing, like, and how many people can see, because I don't think everybody can see into the future. It's just the tainted ones that can see stuff. But yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, because they talk about a lot, like, in those, like, oh, we gotta take care of these tainted ones. Like, they know about Cassandra, the Order, and that they want to, like, take her out and to dinner, and but yeah, it's like, oh, they keep talking about the tainted ones, which is Cassandra and her brother, and I guess anybody else who has that special bloodline from Pythagoras.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, okay, so you want to destroy us, or you know about us, but do you know about us because of the Cult of Cosmos? Like, do you know that I killed them all? Do you, like, what else do you, like, I don't know. There's just so much lore now about the bad guys I want to know. Like, why don't they get along?
Why don't the bad people like each other?
Yeah, but yeah, it's interesting though, because the Order, all, it's like they're Persians, so it's like, it's a, at least some of them, I don't think all of them are, but at least the first ones, the very first ones you meet, they're Persians, and they try to do this thing at one point where it's like this one character in the Order tries to make Cassandra question if all the killing she's been doing is really all that good. Mm-hmm. And they present it in a way that I'm like, okay, if this was like a movie and you did this a certain way, I could see how you'd be like questioning the moral authority of the character, I guess, and if giving them doubt. But like all the answers I chose, I'm like, nah. Like, it was kind of like, I mean, it's not really spoilerish because it came out of nowhere, this cutscene. I was on my way to do an entirely different quest. And it's like the person confronts you, there's like a tree, and it's very much like a 300, I think it was 300, whatever, but like, or no, that's right, it was Hellblade had it, but like there's this tree in the swamp and there's just tons of dead bodies hanging off, and the guy's like, hey, you like my art piece? And it's like, and these are all the dead bodies of people you killed, apparently. And he goes, do you recognize them? And then he has the family members of all those dead people there to confront you, and like, you killed my brother, you killed my husband, my, you know, my father, and this. And he goes, did they really deserve it, Eagle Bear? And then you're like, you choose the option, like, yeah, they were bad.
And then, yeah, they were doing bad shit. They just,
and then it's like, yeah. And then you do that, and they go, oh, so that gives you the authority just to kill my family, blah, blah, blah. Like, all the citizens are yelling. And it gives you an option just to say, screw it and fight them. But I kept clicking all the ones, and it's like, it was my life or theirs, like, because they attacked me. And she's like, hey, they attacked me. I was me or them. And it's like, oh, it's just me or them now, huh? Like, and I'm like, these fucking NPCs. I was like, I don't care what you think. Like, they had to die. But now, had it been like one of those Greek versus Athens or kind of situations, I'd be like, or the, you know, the wars that you help fight on, I'd be like, okay, well, those didn't really matter because I just picked a side because I wanted a gear.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like in the end, I'm like, nah, this, they got what was coming to them. And so I picked everyone. They shouldn't have been
doing sketchy shit.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Like, they were helping. It's like, hey, it's not my fault. He walked around the corner when I killed this cultist and saw me, and I had to kill him.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that wasn't my bad.
He should have just ate his dinner and left.
Exactly. He shouldn't have been there. But yeah, it was weird. Like, I'm curious if that's going to be like a theme. I think that's supposed to be a theme because kind of remember reading that or something about that. Like, I guess, like, or maybe some talk about it on a podcast back when I was not playing the DLC. Like, the game kind of tries to question or make Cassandra question, or whoever you're playing as, question their, if what they're doing is right. But yeah, I just picked up that. I was like, yeah, nah. And then I'm like, nope, gonna kill you all. And then I just killed them because they fucking die in one hit. Yeah, pitchfork? I don't think so. But,
you should have just sat there and ate your food, but now you got involved, so now you're dead.
Yep. Man, it's fun to be back in the AC. I'm hoping this DLC will last me quite a bit. Because I was going to wait till both were out, both big chunks, but I'm like, man, now if I play this, I only have one episode of the Atlantis, and then, although I suppose if I take my time and do all the Tales from Greece quests, that would hold me over.
Yeah, I was going to wait until both were out because I have, like I said, I have two things in July that are coming out. And then after that, I think there's a little bit of a dry spell again. And hopefully they'll both be out by then. We can play it.
Yeah, I wonder if they announced the release dates. Let me see if I can look it. Oops, let me see if I can look it up. What do they call it? The Tales of Atlantis DLC?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Creed. Odyssey DLC. Odyssey DLC. Let's see what they say. The Fate of Atlantis. Let's see. That's the launch trailer. I don't want that. Part 2 of Assassin's Creed Fate of Atlantis DLC. Okay. The second episode of the Fate of Atlantis DLC will launch on June 4th. And then the... Okay, blah, 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 blah. So that's, okay, and then... The third is due out mid-2019. Well, I hate to tell you, but June is kind of the mid of 2019.
Six is the middle of 12, so...
Yeah, but at June 4th, I mean, because I think the trailer for the first episode came out in April, and so it must have been end of April or middle of April it came out. So I think, because I believe when they said that that was what it was going to be, it was like one month was the DLC, then mini content, then a month, there's a month gap, and then the DLC, which makes sense. So if it was April, then it's June. So July off, and then August would make
sense.
That
would be, like, perfect.
Yeah, I think that's how it's going to be. But, yeah, I look forward to playing them all. Going to be fun. But, yeah. All right. Well, I guess that'll wrap it up for this episode then. I don't have anything else I had played. And E3, I mean, who knows? We talked about it last episode. How it's like, who knows what's going to be announced between now and E3. It's like, we just had two big things. I mean, I feel like it's almost kind of standard for Call of Duty to be announced prior, but like the Death Stranding stuff was huge. Not that we would expect that at E3, but yeah, it'd be interesting to see what else gets announced prior to the show. It's coming up pretty quick.
Ooh.
Less than 2 weeks. But, alrighty. Well, that'll wrap it up for this episode. So thank you all for tuning in. Thank you, Zaya, for joining.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see you all next time.